welcome to the Living in Rural Mallorca podcast. Have you ever dreamt of moving abroad for a rural lifestyle on a Mediterranean island? My guests in this series did just that and share their experiences with us. The pleasures and the pitfalls, tips on making the transition, making the most of life in Mallorca, and more. I'm Jan Edwards, podcast host and author of the Living in Rural Mallorca blog, all about our own experiences of life in a finca since we left England in 2004.
I think it's like paradise for the horses. I think it's just different. It's not more difficult, but it's just different. When you're riding with a horse you know really well, it's like dancing together.
For a while, COVID restrictions meant we couldn't mix with people from another household, so I've not been out recording interviews with other expats who've made rural Mallorca their home. But with the recent relaxation of that particular restriction, I've been to meet a man who began his new life on the island last year in the midst of the pandemic. Mark Rieker moved from Germany to the northeast of Mallorca, where he shares his tranquil finca with his beloved dog and three horses. I asked Mark why he left the vibrant city of Berlin to live on the island.
To find a place having more peace and is a bit more relaxed, because Berlin is really busy and a lot of people come there, and it changed a lot in the last years, and it has been a very creative place 10, 15 years ago, but now it's coming more and more commercial. And another aspect for me was to find a place which is a bit warmer, and the winter is a bit more nice, because the winter in Berlin is really gray and kind of depressing. And yeah, I like to find a place which is a bit more friendly to my soul.
Well, you've chosen probably one of the most peaceful little areas in Mallorca. Has it been too peaceful for you?
I really looked on all the island, and I really didn't look for a specific place. I really was open to see all the offers from the estate agents, and I was curious at which place I feel like coming home, and which place was like giving me the feeling to sit down and think of, oh, I want to stay here. And the place where we are was definitely that place. And now I found out, it's really in the middle of the only green spot on the map. If you look on the map from Mallorca, there's just one really big green spot with a lot of trees. And I'm living really in the middle of it.
So. Yeah, it is a lovely, really peaceful place. You are living on your own here in a lovely, cozy little house. Mm-hmm. What do you miss about what you had in Berlin?
Not so much, actually. I miss my friends. Sometimes I miss the opportunity to leave the house and have some cultural program. But in that moment, my friends don't have that too, because everything is closed because of the pandemic thing. So, no, actually, I don't miss anything.
Life's changed for everybody, whether they've moved house or not. You moved literally, I think, just as the pandemic was about to start, didn't you?
Yes, I bought the house short before the pandemic starts, and I wanted to come in March. And I organized everything, my furniture, my clothes, all the things were already on the transport to Mallorca. And then the lockdown came. And one day before I wanted to start to come here, I wasn't able to. And then I had to find a new apartment, because my apartment was already relet by somebody. And and I had to skip the transport for my horses. And had to organize really a lot of things. But a good friend of mine, she has a stable in close to Berlin, and she has some apartments as well. And she said, oh, wow, yesterday one person moved away, and so we have some space for you, and you can come. And then I stayed there 3 months, and in June, when everything was a bit better from the numbers of coronavirus, I came here. I grabbed my horses and my dog and
and came over. Yes. That sounds like it was a really stressful period for you.
Actually, no.
Oh, good.
just the first days. And then I thought, okay, plans are different, everything changed, and I just like to take everything like it comes, and just found out what it does to me. And yeah, it was really exciting.
Yeah. Well, you worked in a really interesting industry before you came here. Making wigs.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. That's a fascinating area to work in.
I'm still doing it, and I still have my studio in Berlin. Wow, it's a long story short, but I studied something about wigs, makeups, special effects, and something like that, like makeup artist. And did some films and found out, okay, being on set is not my thing. It's just about waiting a lot of time and always being standby and on demand. And yeah, I really like to do something which is, which gives me more space to develop my creativity. And I found out I like hair. I think I like the material. It's nice to feel it and to work with it. And so, yeah, and then I met some actors, and they told me, oh, it's so hard to find good wigs, and oh, we need some extensions, or oh, we need some braids, and nobody does it. And I said, okay, I can do it for you, and it started.
Sounds fascinating. You must have met some famous people, I imagine.
Yes, definitely. I think one of the most impressive people I met was Helen Mirren.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I made some wigs for her, and yeah, she's really, really, really cool. That was some nice...
Excellent. So you're still doing some of this here in your home. We're sitting here in your home, and I was just wondering what these two items were on this table.
Yeah.
And it's all to do with making wigs, isn't it?
Yes, it's for doing wefts. For wefts, for wigs, or for doing extensions, or for doing braids, just to get hair in a connection, in some kind of connection, to be able to use it for something.
Where do you get the hair from? I'm intrigued.
That's a secret.
You're very welcome to keep a secret. But yeah, what a fascinating line of work. I've never met anybody
was
that's
a joke,
done that before.
But we get the hair from Czech Republic, some hair from Germany as well. Some people come to my studio and sell their hair.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think 10, 15 years ago, it was really easy to get hair, but it's getting more hard and hard because all the people are dyeing their hair, and and we need hair which is totally unprocessed.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And so many people these days do colour their hair, don't they?
Yes. Everybody.
And is there a difference in hair quality for different countries depending on what nationality you are? Does it vary?
Yeah, it's there are big differences because hair from Asia is 16 times thicker than hair from European people, for example, and North European hair is different than South European hair, or East European hair is more red than North European hair. It depends on where, what you want, and for what you use the hair piece or wig.
Very interesting subject. You must have spent a lot of time researching and learning all about the subject.
Yeah.
And so do you always make wigs for people in the movie industry, or would you, for instance, make a wig for someone who had maybe lost their hair?
Both.
You do it for both.
Yeah.
Okay.
But for private customers, we also do hair pieces or wigs, but mostly for people having alopecia or other immune diseases.
People who had chemotherapy, presumably.
No. For chemotherapy, no, because they get their hair back. And the insurance don't pay for it. And if the people don't like to spend so much money, mostly because if they do the chemotherapy, it's just 3, 4, 5, 6 months. We also have people doing that and want to spend that money for a really good wig, but mostly we have people who never get their hair back because they have some diseases.
Yeah. It sounds like a very creative thing to do, and something you can do and be thinking about other things at the same time, maybe.
No.
You can't.
No, you have to concentrate.
Right.
It's a bit like painting a picture, but in 3D, because you have to think about the direction, the color, the thickness, the structure of the hair, and there are really a lot of things you have to think about. Yeah.
Well, as well as doing that, you're very involved in the world of horses.
Yeah, that's true.
When did your love of horses start?
When I was 5 years.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You would have been a little boy and the horses are so high.
Yes. But I think in the first class of school, yeah, it started there. I wanted to ride, and then I rode in a stable, and then I asked my parents, oh, I want to have my own horse. And yeah, so it started when I was young.
And you had horses when you lived in Berlin, presumably in a stable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The last years I moved a bit outside from the city, so I lived in a suburb with the horses.
Tell us about the horses you have here, because you've got quite a bit of land here, which means you've got the perfect place for your horses.
Yeah, I think it's like paradise for the horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have the Torrente here, so the land is always a bit wet, so all the grass and everything is growing really good. Yeah, and I have three horses. They're all a Spanish race. I'm riding dressage and doing some horsemanship as well, and also doing classes with people because I'm also a horse trainer. So
multi-talented.
I don't know. Just following my interests.
There are one or two horses around the valley I've noticed recently. What are the challenges of having a horse here in Mallorca, do you think, as opposed to keeping horses in Germany?
To get good food is more complicated. I think it's just different. It's not more difficult, but it's just different. It's much more easy to keep the horse in your at your house on your ground. It's much more complicated in Germany because you have to have different permissions, and it's also very hard to get the land because in Germany all the people are living closer together, so it's much harder to get enough land to keep a horse. Or to keep a horse in that way, I like to keep horses because I think that animals need to walk and have the opportunity to run, to trot or gallop and to play and so that's more difficult there. I think that's more easy here, but you need to have a good option for the horses to hide from the sun, because
yes,
in summer it's really hot and you have to have good water. And yeah, and it's much harder to go out and ride through the landscape because the roads are mostly with much stones and the way is very hard, and that's different. In Germany, there are most, if you go in the landscape, the way is mostly with sand and you can trot and gallop. That's not possible here. Yeah.
Have you taken them very far? Have you ridden them far on trips, or do you tend to do dressage here?
Yeah, I'm almost doing dressage on my riding arena. I have my small riding arena now, yay! So yeah, that's really a kind of luxury thing for me to go out, to take my horse and just...
Sounds like a lovely life.
Yes, it is.
For anybody who's looking to move to Mallorca, what would you say about finding a new home, finding a home on the island? What would you recommend?
To go there and just follow your feeling. Just to go there and feel if it feels like home to you, if it feels good, and to be open to connect to people, to be open to change your plans. So I think to come here means to be open that plans you make on Monday are totally different on Friday.
Yes.
So, and that's really a bit different because I don't know why, but it is so. But if you're open and if you are still willing to say, okay, I don't want to follow my way. So if you like to look right and left and listen to people, what they tell you, and you're open to go away with them, I think you can really discover super interesting and super nice things, yeah.
How have you coped with the language here?
I'm learning it.
Well done.
I'm learning it. I think I can understand the people. That's a bit of my problem. I think I can speak okay, so far, but people are speaking so fast, and that's really a problem for me to understand them. So, but if they're speaking a bit slower, so for my daily life, it works really good, but to stand a longer conversation, yeah, I just have to practice a bit more.
There aren't a lot of people around where you live to have a practice with, to be honest.
No.
And they're all local people, aren't they?
No.
How have the people reacted to you coming here and having horses? Because the previous owners didn't have horses here.
I think they like it. I think they like it because they like the idea that someone is coming here and are doing some kind of agricultural thing, like having horses and having interest for plants and for trees. And I think, yeah, most neighbors like that. And so I really talked a lot of them. Talked a lot with them about which trees I can plant here, which not, and what are the tricks with everything.
So you're learning lots of things from the locals. They're so helpful, aren't they?
They are, yes.
Yeah. Well, obviously this house will be different to the place you lived in Berlin, where you flicked a switch and the lights would come on, you wouldn't have to think about it, turn on the tap and there's water. Mm-hmm. What are the differences here in this sweet little property, which is really sweet?
You have to care for everything. You have to check the electricity, your solar panels, you have to check the generator, if there's enough fuel in the tank, you have to check if there's enough water for having a shower or for, I don't know, for whatever you use the water, or you have to check where to bring your rubbish. You have to you have to care for everything. I think all the things are not really complicated, but in some it's a lot of things you have to care for. So I think the days here are not so productive than they are at home, because there are so many things you have to do for just being here, and you have to, I think you have to decide if you want to do that or not. If you're a person who likes to have it easy without any complications, then I wouldn't recommend to live in the campo.
No. There, it can be challenging sometimes. Have you had any real problems? Things that you've sort of thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing here?
Yeah, but now when I look backwards, I think, okay, it wasn't that bad. But in the moment, yes, I thought, oh, wow.
And you have no one to share it with. It's not as if you can unburden your soul with a partner or something, is it here?
Yeah.
You talk to your dog.
Nah, I have friends on the island, so yes.
You're not totally alone.
No, I'm not Mowgli.
What do your friends who live on the island think about this little gem that you found here in Mallorca?
Most of them live in Palma or in Llucmajor or in bigger suburbs. They like it. They like the horses. They like the positive aspects of my property. But when they found out what it means to live here, most of them say, oh, okay, I'm so glad I'm living in Palma with my apartment. But it's also because of the animals. I mean, I have to feed them every morning, every evening. For example, if you go to the beach and have a day on the beach, and at 5 or 6, everybody decides, oh, we like to go in a restaurant, or we want to do, I don't know, a barbecue or whatever. And I have to say, sorry, yeah, I need to go home to feed my animals. Something which is different to other people and for them stressful, but for me it's normal, so I'm used to it.
You seem very adaptable to your circumstances and quite easygoing.
Yeah. When I lived in Berlin, I changed my apartment, house, I think 14 or 15 times.
Really?
Yeah.
And presumably that was renting in Germany, because people rent more, don't they?
Than buy. I also built a house.
Oh, okay.
And lived there 4 years, and then I sold it. Yeah, but all the other places I rented, yeah.
You've done quite a bit since you've lived here, because I knew the property before.
Yes.
And you have done quite a lot to it. What other plans do you have for the future?
For the future?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't have plans for long-term future. I just have plans for next year or for, I don't know, next month. because of the fact that everything comes different. But I'm looking forward to have my friends here, to have customers here for giving riding lessons. And there are a lot of customers in Germany who likes to come to get a course for a week or two. And yeah, there are plans. And another plan, because that is some other thing I'm doing, I'm also saddle fitter.
Yeah. Okay, a saddle fitter. I thought saddles you just put them on.
No. You have
to. I know nothing about these things.
No, you have to check if the saddle tree, if the pillows, if everything fits to the horseback. And yeah, I have some techniques to take the measurements from the horseback and to change the pillows and to adapt the saddle. And I'm also selling saddles for.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm looking around. I can't see a saddle, but there must be somewhere.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Do you make the saddles or do you buy those?
No. I'm not able to make them, but I'm able to sell them.
Right.
Because they are two different things. If you're a saddle maker, that's something different. You know a lot about leather and how to stitch and prepare everything. And if you're a saddle fitter, you know a lot about the muscles and the tendons and the horse and the forms and how it should be and how it is. And then you look at the rider, and because I also know how to give lessons for riding, I know how the rider perfectly sits in the saddle. And yeah, so I think it's a good basic to look at it. Yeah, and there are not so many people in Mallorca doing it, and so
I think that's the secret here, because so many people come to Mallorca and think, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And then they get here and they find out that there's 14 other people doing exactly the same thing. So it's good if you can find something that's quite unusual and you have a bit of a niche area.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously know horses really well. You've been riding since you were five. What is it about horses that you really love?
To have that really deep connection without speaking anything. And just to be. It's like, for me, it's like a kind of meditation. If you're standing right beside a horse, you know really well, and the horse knows you really well. And then there's some kind of energy developing that's really, I think, one of the most biggest things in life. So, because you can't explain that.
No.
So even when you're riding with a horse, you know really well, it's like dancing together. If you're doing tango or something like that with a partner, and you're really into the music, and yeah, your thoughts are gone away, and you're just feeling, and yeah, that's the thing happens.
And that connection must be even more important when you're doing something like dressage rather than just going out on a ride through the countryside.
No, I think it just depends on. You can ride dressage really technical, or you can ride it with a good connection. It depends on what you want. And you can go in the landscape with your best friend to have a good time, or you can go out because you like to see the landscape and your horse is just a horse. So it depends on the person, I would say. But I like when I have students for riding, I like to teach them to get a connection to the horse, because for me it's really important that we are dealing and handling with a living personality. I mean, even horses, dogs, every animal has its own personality. And so I think it's really important to remember all the time.
What about the personalities of your particular horses here? What would you say they were?
my horse, Cafe, yes. He's really clever. We always call him the professor, because if you want something from him, you need to explain really exactly. Otherwise, he won't do it. He says, okay, if you want me to do something, then explain me really on point. Yeah, and he's a bit dominant. But I think just because he likes to have a life without any stress, so.
Well, he should be having a life with no stress here, because it's such a really peaceful place.
Yeah, that's
really
true.
Lovely.
And his best friend, Omero, is completely the opposite. He's always a bit frightened and a bit shy. And I think he likes to have cafe on his side to give him stability and, yeah.
A good pairing. Mm-hmm. And here you have your lovely dog.
Yeah, just saying hello to you right now.
Hello. A lovely companion to have when you live on your own.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I have her so many years.
How old?
She's almost 11.
She looks very good for 11. You've had a good life, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yes, you have, beauty. You're going to give me a paw.
I think she wants to jump.
Oh, you can sit on my lap. She's rather large for that.
Tell her.
You can sit on my lap if you want to. You're lovely. Thank you. Nice bow. She's lovely. So do you have a cat as well or not?
No. Fritzy is a bit complicated with cats.
Okay.
She's not biting them, but she doesn't know how to treat them. And I think now she's too old to get used to the behavior of a cat.
Yes, she's had to get used to a whole new way of life. From what I can see, she's loving it.
One day yes, one day no. I think Fritzy misses Berlin a bit because she likes to be with other dogs and like reading the newspaper on the pavement.
Yes. You've not been here a year yet, but do you think you've changed since you've lived here, and if so, how?
Yes, I'm definitely more relaxed than before, and I really can't take some things that serious than before. So if I, for example, speak to my friends at home and then they tell me, oh, la la la, I don't know, we have a problem with our window, I can't close it. And I think, okay, so use some tape and in 2 or 3 days someone will come to fix it, so it's not that bad, so it's not a disaster.
And it's not too difficult to get things done here once you get to know a few people. Neighbours presumably have been really helpful to you.
Yes, that's true. Everybody. So I really had just 95% good experiences. Yeah, but I think it also depends on how you interact with the people. If you really try to understand them a bit and to get into their life, I think then they will get some positive ideas from you and will help you with everything.
Well, you seem to have settled in very well to this beautiful part of Mallorca. I know you don't plan more than about a year ahead, but I hope you'll be happy here for many years to come.
Yeah, me too.
You and your horses, of course. If anybody wants to find out more about what you do, your horse experiences, how can they find out?
Internet. I'm just translating it. In the moment, it's still in German, but I really am on the way to translate it in English and Castellano also. And it's mrforhorses.com.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. It's been really interesting hearing about your life here in Mallorca and your life before in Berlin. And I hope you'll be very happy staying
thank
here in
Rural
Mallorca.
Thank you for the interview. I really enjoyed speaking to you. Sorry for my English. I gave my best. I hope
your English is very good.
I hope everything is understandable.
I think
and,
so.
Yeah, for you all the best too. And thank you.
You've been listening to Mark Rieker, wig maker, dressage rider, riding instructor and saddle fitter, who's living in rural Mallorca. If you'd like to read about our own experiences of a finca home in the Mallorcan countryside, then take a look at my blog, livinginruralmallorca.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and if you enjoyed it, I hope you'll subscribe to hear more expats talking about their experiences. Until next time, it's goodbye from the beautiful island of Mallorca. Living in Rural Mallorca is produced and presented by me, Jan Edwards. The theme tune was composed by Jack Waldenmeyer and published by Music Bakery Publishing.